I step back. I step back and let you, who is our true self, lead the way. Yes. Okay, hello everyone. Thank you all for being here. And earlier in the week, one of my friends, Facebook friends, well, she called it a rant. I'm not going to call it a rant. She called it a rant, went on a prayer rant on my Facebook page about prayer and all that. And she suggested that me or Regina maybe bring this topic up. And at first I thought, I ain't touching that with a 10-foot pole. Then I decided to give it to Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit has prompted me to say some things today about prayer. And I love, as Holy Spirit always does, Holy Spirit is tying it into the practice of waiting. And as you know, that's been big for me to talk about lately. But the prayer thing is interesting because I was wondering about that too, because, you know, I wasn't brought up really religious or anything. And, you know, I've had people around me that, you know, pray over me. And of course, with this brain tumor thing, everybody says, and how I interpret that is they're saying, I care for you. But I started wondering about it too, you know, because kind of like God's will is for Cheryl and Bob. So when someone prayed for me, we don't really know what to do. Ironically, most of you know I have a book, Oh My God, It's Me, and it was actually in 2005 or 2000. But lately, in years, Holy Spirit keeps prompting me to this book I wrote. Well, I have a chapter in prayer. And I turned there this morning. It says this, praying for others. Through prayer, you become a channel through which God extends love into the world. And you think about it, so many people touch our lives, not only in our immediate vicinity, but also in the world at large. It would be impossible to pray for them all. And I used to feel guilty when I forget to pray, you know, if someone said pray for me. And not only did I feel guilty, if I forget, I didn't even know how. And I'm sure some of you can relate to that. We cannot be all things to all people, even in prayer. So for whom do you pray? This is one thing I learned over the years, and this is great. Who are you thinking about? Who do you feel inspired to pray for? Who is standing in front of you in person or in your mind? I think I read this someplace, like if I was meditating or if someone's name or face pops into your awareness, then send them light. So when praying for others, and I actually wrote this in my book and it addresses exactly what my friend is saying. When praying for others, keep in mind that the purpose of prayer is not to fix other people or their lives. For instance, you may pray for a person to be cured of an illness because you don't want to lose him or you don't want to see her suffer. However, you do not know the plan for that person's spiritual evolution. You might pray for a change to occur in someone's life when, in fact, that person may need those experiences in order to live the life they are meant to live. Even though suffering is not part of God's plan for us, going through it can bring us to a higher level of service, compassion, and ourselves and others. And they need not be complicated. Dear God, I acknowledge that He is enfolded in your love. I personally like let go and let God type of prayers. An example that I can remember, though, years ago, one of my patients came in on a Friday. And she told me that she found a lump on her breast. And so we talked about that. And that Monday, she was going to get it checked out. So I just made a comment, well, let's pray over the weekend. So over the weekend, I remember I was doing this meditation. And while I was doing this meditation, her face popped up. And all I did was I envisioned her whole and complete embraced by the light. That's it. And so, you know, when Monday came around, she went to the doctor. She didn't have a lump in her breast. And I don't fall into spiritual ego saying, oh, maybe I healed her. And I don't get into that kind of stuff. But I guess what was struck me at the time, it need not be complicated. We don't know how this works. So with so many people, so many friends, and saying in the last few months that they're going to pray for me, I was kind of interested in that too. But I have to tell you, I was diagnosed on July 5th, and today's August 5th. Since then, I've had surgery. I've been in a, anyway. I am doing fantastic. So, all I know is every one of you have been sending me light and love or whatever you've been doing. And I feel fantastic in the sense that, and I've shared this before, you know, you hear people say when they get cancer, they appreciate life and all this stuff. And I understand that now, but I understand it in a way. It's not so much, oh, I have cancer and now I appreciate life. But it's like, I don't know. Everything's changed. But my life feels so rich. And in some ways, you know, there's definitely some tedious things going on. There's definitely things going on. But it does change us if we're willing to be changed. So anyway, what I was prompted to do, and I haven't, you know, I remember I used to teach some from the index of NTI. NTI is, of course, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament inscribed by Regina. But I used to often feel guided to teach from the index, so I was guided to look at that yesterday and today on prayer. And what I love is Holy Spirit ties this into, this prayer conversation, into the practice of awakening, which we're all into. And that's what I've been thinking about. I've been getting a lot of instruction and practice lately. I posted on my Facebook page in the last few days from Adyashanti, and he said something about an awakening. He said something like, the awakening isn't the end. It's the end of seeking. It's the beginning of living from your true nature. So I read some others. I found this page on Facebook. I love it. And then I lost it and I found it in. It has really good stuff. It's called Non-Duality, Oneness, and One Love. But I found this quote by, I don't know how to say this guy's name, Thich Nhat Hanh or something like that. But he says, the ocean of suffering is immense. But if you turn around, you can see the land. The seed of suffering in you may be strong. But don't wait until you have no more suffering before allowing yourself to be happy. I love that when he says, the ocean of suffering is immense, but if you turn around, you can see the land. What does it say right in the Bible? Repent. Repent means turn around, turn the other cheek, look another way, look up. And the problem is we're so focused on the suffering. And I read something else this week. I've been trying to post stuff on my Facebook page that inspired me, but something about thoughts, and something about thoughts that flow. The analogy was like thoughts flowing in a river. So we're watching the thoughts are like leaves flowing in the river when our attention should be on the river. Thought that was good. Repent. Look to the land. So now I'm going to go to the land. In the form of NTI. So I'm just looking at the index. And the first question, I might not go through all of them, but the first question, and while I was doing this afternoon, I got guidance, because as you all know, I've been contemplating with the Seven Steps to Awakening for 2 years now. And I think I mentioned last week that I've been having a hard time doing contemplation. And so I felt Holy Spirit kind of directed me back to that today. But anyway, the first question is, why should I pray? And if you have NTI, we're going to turn to page 403. This is going to be a very great discussion, I think. Oh, I love this. Use the moment given to let go of your dreams. This is the practice of awakening. And what I like about that, because we've been talking the last few weeks about all our practices are not necessarily by doing something. They're giving the moment to the present. They're giving the moment to present healing. See, you may approach each moment of awakening with confidence because each moment is within the process that it is. You are awakening. You are arousing yourself now. Celebrate the process you are within. Help yourself to awaken by joyously letting go of your dreams. So this is what I love. This is a great paragraph. It says, if you are noticing that you fell back into sleep for a time, then you are not asleep now. Like, for instance, what we do, part of the way we notice we're back asleep, let me get a drink of water. At least I can drink water this week. We often will beat up on ourselves. And, oh, I got angry or judgmental or blah, blah, blah. But if you notice that, then you are not sleeping. If you are noticing now, now must be a state of awakening. Rejoice and use now to practice awakening. Through its practice, the state of awakening shall increase. And I love that because that's what we often forget. We use now to beat up on ourselves, don't we? Or beat up on others. When you lay aside searching by realizing there is no truth, you can find that is not within, and you begin the practice of the work that is within. Forgive the scenarios of your dream. Look away from them. They are images of the past. Stay focused on the practice of awakening, and the awakening of your one self is hearkened on the light within you. And what does that have to do with prayer? Let's figure that question out. Hebrews 5:7. Oh, here it is. Your prayers of the heart encourage you. They pull you into the state of awakening. They are power that echoes the desire of the heart, so desire may reverberate and bring itself back to you. Spend time in prayer and you practice the practice of awakening. Spend time in prayer and you jostle yourself into your own state of awakening. So this I love. How shall I pray? Well, we can always get in trouble with how shall I pray. But in NTI, they have, well, we've all heard the Lord's Prayer, right? Listen to this. Close your eyes. This is a beautiful rendition of the Lord's Prayer. Close your eyes. Pray like this according to what you find in your heart. Father, let me know you. Let your kingdom dawn upon my mind, that I may be led by your will and become as one with it. Let me hear your word within my mind. Let my lessons be given me, that I may be closer to you through the actions of my day. Let me forgive myself as I know you have. Let me see my brothers as innocent as they truly are. Let us watch our minds for evil thoughts that would trick and bind us to the light within. And let us let those thoughts go, so they may not cloud our minds from knowing the truth. Amen. Amen. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Let's see. Then I want to go to page, forgive these things first. I don't know if Lori's in the room, but Lori, this is probably more than you wanted me to say about prayer, but Holy Spirit's doing it, so. Let's see. Chapter 11. Okay, here we go. Watch the thoughts. This is practice. Jesus says to Peter, watch your thoughts. It seems that they are tricky at times, for they seem to come only to deceive you and to rob you of your purpose. But you do not need to believe what what you find within your mind. You do not need to believe what you see with your eyes. Be alert to deception. If you are alert, you will recognize it, that the same name, and the name is fear. And the name is fear. So we forgive these things first. And then he takes us over to, well, I'm going to go over there because I think this fits perfectly. I love this book. I love this book. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 11, NTI. Oh, this is great. How shall you pray? Holy Spirit is the unceasing act of thought. With every thought, you pray for everything, or you pray for nothing. How then shall you think? I've already asked you to think with me by accepting my thoughts and laying your thoughts aside. Holy Spirit says my thoughts of forgiveness, love, acceptance, gratitude, and rejoicing. Whenever you are not listening to my thoughts, you will know, because you will not be at peace and you will not be happy. This is not a time to chastise yourself, for chastisement is not among the thoughts that I give. If you are tempted to chastise yourself for forgetting me, you must again be listening to your own thoughts and praying for nothing. This is the time that you should ask for your daily bread. This is the time of forgiving your own thoughts by laying them aside and again opening your heart to me. And then he talks about emptying your mind. And this is great too, because, see, this is really great stuff. Because, all right, here we go. Listen to this. When you approach me in honesty and humility, you open to hear. So listen to this. This is very important right here. He says, when you approach me in the current moment and share your prayers, do not pray about the problems you perceive within the world, expecting me to provide answers. Listen to this. Instead, think about your reactions to the problems you have perceived. What thoughts did you notice in your mind? What judgments are you making? Isn't that good? Notice your reactions. Think of prayer as an opportunity to empty your mind of guilt, fear, distractions, resistance, judgment by bringing them to me. Think of prayer as an opportunity to renew your willingness and revitalize your faith. Then, when this has been done, ask me what you are to do, and you will be rewarded with the guidance and the perfect for healing in the moment. And that's the way we think about praying for others. One thing I learned, and I felt that this is helpful to share. I worked as a doctor of chiropractic for, 20, 30 years. And so people come all the time, tell me about they have cancer or a loved one dying or they're divorced or all this kind of stuff. And early on, I realized, that I, Cheryl, didn't know what to say a lot of times. So thank God I was a course student, because I learned how to go within and let Holy Spirit speak through me. And that is the best way that we can help one another. Holy Spirit says, and help anyone that I send to you for help, if you will let me speak through you and not interfere. And I asked him one day, well, how do I not interfere? And the prayer that I've used all these years is that famous one in the Course where it says, I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent love that sent me. I don't need to worry about what to say or what to do, because love that sent me will work through me. I will be healed as I let love heal me. What is it? I will be healed as I let love teach me to heal. And so that's the way, of Course talks about having empathy. And I realized that Holy Spirit within me knows what to say. Holy Spirit within me knows what to do if I rely on my own readiness. So one of the ways we can really be present with one another in these situations situations. It's just, you don't even have to go into a long prayer. A lot of times I say, Holy Spirit, help me see this person or this situation through your eyes of love, rather than my eyes of fear. To take that moment to get yourself out of the way helps us be there the most for another person. Like I shared at the beginning, when a friend had a lump in her breast, you know, I just envisioned her embraced by the light. That's all I did. I didn't know what else to do. So when my friend brought up this thing this week in prayer, I found it interesting because that's been a big in my life for the last month. Like, what is that? What, you know? But what I said with her, when people tell me I'm praying for you, I interpret that as I care. There's no need to analyze this stuff. Like it says here, look at your own reactions. You know, we could learn a lot about ourselves on Facebook because, you know, you guys have all listened to me for the past year in my talks, talk from my 7 Steps journal, which is all about looking at the ego maintenance habits, all that crap. And we could learn a lot about ourselves looking at what we say on Facebook. Even not what we say, what we want to say, you know. I'm not going to bring it up right now because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but there was a couple comments I made a few weeks ago about not being able to swallow or eat or talk. And there was a few people that, well, I know their food addiction issues that came along to and wrote things. And you could, and I, one person I felt like, Sam, do you have any idea what you just revealed about yourself with that response? I mean, here someone with a brain tumor is talking about not being able to swallow. And this person's like said something like, I bet you're secretly glad that you can't eat. And I was like, you know, call your therapist. I know, I'm judging. But you know what I mean? It's like, I just a few people wrote stuff like that. And I thought, hey, do you have any idea what you just revealed about yourself and your issues? Anyway. And we all do it. I do too. But I just thought, I just use that comment as an example because it's kind of blatant, don't you think? But I was amazed how many women, I know them well enough to know what their issues are because they're friends, that came along and made like food addiction comments. And I was like, oh my God, you know. So yeah, we all do it. Exactly. We all do it. And I look on Facebook. Now, sometimes I want to say something, but I don't. You know what I mean? But I still look at what I wanted to say. So that wasn't necessarily a criticism. It's more about, you know, willing to look at ourselves. And that's what I see with this whole thing started with me, where I went deeper into know thyself. And I'm certainly getting an education in know thyself. In fact, I had a conversation with someone in my office yesterday, and she last year got diagnosed with a severe stage of breast cancer. So I'm part of her treatment team. She lost her job and she lost her insurance and all that stuff. So I've been treating her over the past year. But then when she read on Facebook a few weeks ago that I had cancer, she's like, oh my God, that blew me away. So anyway, yesterday she came into my office and we were talking about all this. I don't remember exactly. I think I made a comment about a workbook lesson. The one, sickness is a defense against the truth or something. And then she said, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she goes, God, Cheryl, you've been studying this stuff for years. Why would you need to get that to learn this? Something about I am not a body. I forget the whole context. And after she left, I didn't think of it when we were talking, but after she left, her point was basically, you already know this. Why do you have to get a brain tumor? But I realized after, I go, I don't know that I'm not a body. I mean, I've read it. I've intellectualized, but I don't know experientially that I am not a body. You know what I mean? And so some of this, I think, comes along so that we can know. But I don't know. I don't have the answers to all these questions. So let's see, where else are we in the index? How shall I pray in humility and gratitude? We already did. Oh, this is good. 283. Some people aren't going to like this, and it's pretty rough at the beginning. Let's see, 283. Oh, Romans. Okay, listen to this. Now that you see, I ask for your help. You can be used by me for the healing of the mind, if you're willing. In order to be most helpful, you must be willing to lay yourself aside, for you can only be helpful to me under my direction, and I can only direct you when you're willing to surrender to me. And somewhere in this, let me see what he has. What's brutal? Oh, 15, 20. Yeah, he says, pray then for your own end. Pray to your Father with willingness to let go of thy illusory self. Because your will is not my will. So that's funny when you first turn to stuff like that and you have cancer. Pray for your own end. But he's talking about, of course, I talked about that last week, that in the second half of life, you know, our props are removed. You build them up in the first half, our identity, our prestige, but in the second half, we have losses of loved ones, of health, of money, of jobs, you know what I mean? And I think that the aging process naturally helps us move into the true self, because we see all the falsity, all the false props that, you know, like training wheels on a tricycle that prop up this false self. And then it tells us, pray also for your brothers. What page is that on? Pray also for your brothers. Are you guys enjoying this thing on prayer? This is Holy Spirit guided, because... Oh, this is good. From NTI Philippians. Empty your mind now of all you thought was true. Accept the grace and peace of God as your true inheritance. I pray for you means I know who you are, and I know who I am, and that I know that we are together. I pray for you means I know that we are not separate, but connected through God, which is mind and spirit. And yeah, I think that's really great, because when people, I mean, everywhere I go on, or, you know, people that know what's going on with me, everybody has said, I'm going to pray for you, or I'm praying for you. And when you look at that, it's, I pray for you means I know that we are not separate, but connected through God. If you're going to say to someone, I'm praying for you, what does that mean to you? Isn't that great, though? We're connected. I pray for you means I recognize our oneness, and I recognize that as I ask for you, I too shall receive. I pray for you is a statement of faith that all you see and sense and experience is not all there is. It is a statement of realization that effect is the result of intent, and intent can be affected by you. Yeah, and that's great, Maggie. When I'm healed, I'm not healed alone. And that's a lesson. You know, I've been really practicing every day, lesson 136, sickness is a defense against the truth. And then 137 is when I'm healed, I'm not healed alone. Just a second, get some water. Because as we heal, we become instruments for healing. We truly do. So that was good stuff, I think. I think what Holy Spirit, through the conversation and prayer, has told us the importance of recognizing our oneness with one another. And to use this moment, when I go to pray, I empty my mind from what's there now, and I can use this moment as a practice of awakening. I can use this moment as a practice of awakening. Maggie says, you certainly are demonstrating that, Cheryl. You know, it's interesting, and I think I've asked this here before, and people are probably getting sick of it, but so many people have told me that, and I say to my husband, I go, I don't know what I'm demonstrating. You know what I mean? It's kind of interesting. I go, it's not like I'm looking for compliments or anything. It's like, I'm curious. And my husband said something the other day. He goes, "Well, Cheryl, everybody's scared of the cancer word." And he goes, "And you're affirming that it doesn't have to be a devastating thing." I don't know. It's all confusing. So what I try to do right now is I'm trying to do the work before me. Holy Spirit, one of my friends calls Holy Spirit the director of continuing education. And so I have this whole curriculum in front of me. It seems like I have this big pile of books to read. A lot of them I've had for years. And then I'm trying to read more fiction books. Isn't that great, Maggie? I have like 20 books, fiction books piled up on my bed that I'm looking forward to reading and sharing with everyone. And so I'm really for, and you know, a lot of people say that when it comes to cancer, their life changes, it's richer, all of that. And that's certainly happening with me. And I don't know what that's about, really, but I don't know. And this is the honest God truth, I feel so rich. My life feels fun. It feels exciting. The worst part is I've been taking these steroids when I had all that face stuff, and they make you want to eat constantly. I'm like, oh my God, all I want to do is eat. So my doctor says, well, you can eat or you can't talk. Which one do you want? So it's kind of funny because my husband's trying to make me take all these steroids, and I'm like, oh my God, all I want to do is eat. So yeah, there's that kind of stuff. But overall, like yesterday, I went to my office, and I had like 4 patients come in that basically I wasn't going to do treatment. They just went, came in and hugged me, and we could chat. They're people I've treated for years. One brought me this great bottle of wine from Italy. Another brought me this huge thing of flowers. Another bought me some books. You know what I mean? It's just great to hug them and talk to them and tell, you know, talk about what's going on. It's kind of fun. And then on Sundays, I'm basically concentrating on teaching on whatever comes up during the week. And when my friend Lori started talking about prayer, I thought that was a good subject to talk in, because I was kind of confused about that too, you know. Everybody's telling me we're praying for it, and I said to Bill, I go, prayer must work because I'm doing fantastic. And I feel, it's not even just health-wise, I feel when I wake up in the morning, I feel this great sense of peace and contentment and happiness. And now I have time. I get up in the morning. I've been really focusing on the centering prayer practice. God, I love that. I'm really focused on that. And, you know, so I'm not doing any great spiritual practices, but that's, you know, I've realized with the centering prayer, what I love about that is that's a practice I do throughout the day. I do it in the car. I do it during my treatments. You know, in the afternoon, I love coming home. I'm usually tired by the afternoon. I love coming home, changing clothes, getting in bed, and pulling the blankets up around me, and I do some centering prayer. And so I'm just trying to go where led, you know, read what I'm guided to read and think about what I'm guided to think about, or not think about what I'm guided to not think about is more like it. And that's been a great, great lesson too, you know, because when these things happen, obviously your attention is drawn to the outside, the body and all that stuff. So it's been a great practice to return, I am that I am. I am as God. You know what I mean? Bringing my attention inward. What did you say, Maggie? You said, excuse me, that is a great spiritual practice. What? That's... And the silence thing, yes. Oh, my God. I've gotten deeper into that recently. Yeah, centering, yeah. I just learned about it a few months ago. And, of course, now is a great time to practice. But when I do that rest in God thing. I get in bed and I just think, I rest in God. And it immediately takes me to that rest. And I admit, I'm not that great of it, because then I'll get distracted by thoughts and stuff. But still, they say you're supposed to do it 20 or 30 minutes twice a day, which I don't know if I've been doing that. But I realized, Holy Spirit pointed out to me, he goes, yeah, but you do it all day. Like if my mom's been driving me around, so I do it in the car. And you know what I mean? I just try to rest my mind as much as possible. when I catch myself thinking a lot. The biggest bummer, like I said, is at night. One of my favorite times in the day is at night. I like to sit on the porch and I like to contemplate the seventh steps. And I've been having a really hard time doing contemplation. Maybe I'm being too hard on myself. I'm not giving, because before, it used to take me about 15 or 20 minutes to tease it out. And once it would tease out, then I could do about four quotes. And so maybe I'm not giving myself that space. Yes. Yeah, I'm being love. Well, that's what one of my friends said yesterday when in the office. We were talking about the whole inspiring thing. I go, why is everything so inspired to me? I don't get it. She goes, because you're being you. She goes, you're going through all of this, but you're still you. You still are doing the same things you always did, you know. You didn't turn inward. And I think that's what happened, maybe. I see this as a doctor when bad things happen to people. They turn inward. Like, why is this happening? You know, it's almost maybe on some level we think we're being punished or something, you know. But I've always been a outward person, and maybe that's why I do what I do. But you know, it's interesting. One of my really good friends, I don't know if I shared this before, but her husband died of the brain tumor that I have about 20 years ago. And she's about 20, 30 years older than me. I think he was in his 60s when he got it. But anyway, I really was helpful to her through that experience. So when I called her a few weeks ago, you're not going to believe it. I had the same brain tumor that your husband had. She goes, I don't have to believe it. Why was I telling you that? There was a reason why I was telling you that. Why was I telling you that I have the same brain tumor? Oh, so her and I got together the other day, and at the time when he got the brain tumor, which is years ago, I never used to think of myself as a really nice person. I used to always think of myself as more like a bitch. So I remember her telling me when he got diagnosed that his doctor said, you know, it's the weirdest thing. All the patients I have with this tumor are the nicest people. And I go, woo, I guess I don't have to worry about getting, if it only happens to nice people. So the other day when her and I got together, she brought that up, that the doctor said that, and I started laughing. I go, remember when he said that? I go, well, at least I don't have to worry about getting that. She goes, but you are like he was. He was a really outward-centered, you know, focused on other people. She goes, but you are like that. I go, yeah, so only nice people get this brain tumor? I don't think I'm that nice. But isn't that funny? I'd get the exact same brain tumor that my friend had, you know, 20 years ago. And it's weird. It's all weird. But anyway. But I just want you all to know that I think, if we get back to prayer, I don't know what to think about any of it. All I know is that, you know, I'm not a needy person and not the type that needs a lot of support, but I have to tell you, I said it before, all the support and love and prayers I got from Facebook, oh my God, who would have thought? Facebook was like the city of hope. Even today, I mean, even now, I love getting on Facebook, reading posts from my friends, and yeah, and you can see someone write a post on Facebook about anything and people will come and support them. In fact, I read a post this week where someone said something like, it's easy to get compassion fatigue on Facebook, and at first I didn't know what she was talking about, but then if you read all the posts, you know, everybody's probably talking about this dog died, or that happened, or that happened, or this, you know what I mean, and usually I don't get caught up in all that, but but it is. It's kind of amazing, don't you think? Because, you know, I still have friends that are telling me, Facebook, I'm only getting on because you're on there. I said, never would I get on Facebook. Are you kidding? Facebook is, I said, this is like the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced. Not just because of cancer, but even before you. Look at you, all of you in the room. Many of us in this room are pretty good friends. Some of you I've met in person. And we keep in touch here. Yeah, Maggie said best birthday. I love it on my birthday, too. Even birthdays are fun. Like, everybody tells you happy birthday. I haven't been getting notifications on birthdays lately, so I have to. But I even love that. I even love every week to look at the birthday list and see which one of my friends have birthdays and go to them on their page and put something on their page. I love doing that. It's fun. So, anyway. But it is a way to keep in touch with people. It is a way to express that you care about them. And I have to tell you, I've been amazed at the support, the level of support, not only that I've gotten through there, but, you know, through everybody. So, you know, anyway, I thank you. I thank you. But I'm finished talking about prayer, but one thing I'll share if I can find it right now. I had it and then I lost it. Do you all know who Ossie is? Ossie Marie. Well, she shared this song on my Facebook page, and I saw it at like 4:30 in the morning the other day on my phone. I didn't play it then because I was in bed with my husband because I didn't want to wake him up. But she put the song on my Facebook page, and it was something like, "I'm Alive." And it's Celine Dion. Oh my God, it was so great. I don't think I can bring it up right now though because I'm on my laptop and let's see what's going on here. I'm Alive. And so I've been playing it every day. And, oh, here it, let's see. I'm not good when I try to do this stuff. And I was so touched. One of my friends on Facebook told me that I was soppy. But I was so touched. I go, I didn't post it. Someone else posted it. But it was, I was so touched because she goes, "This song reminds me of you because you have epitomized what it is like to be alive lately." And I don't know. I just was so touched that she did that. So here, I'm gonna, I think I found it.
I feel that I'm alive.
Okay, I guess I am kind of soppy, but I was so touched by that song when she sent it to me. But I love this line. Listen to this. See if I can find it again. Oh, see, now I'm crying. Maybe I am soppy. Okay, something about, where's the lyrics? I can't find it now. Say, I can't wait for the rest of my life, she says. I can't wait to experience the rest of my life. And I really feel that way. I can't wait to experience the rest of my life. So, anyway, that was, like I said, that was so touching to her to send me that song. I was just so touched by it. And it's simple things like that, you know, that we can do for one another. And I don't know. There I go. Cheryl has a crying moment. No, one of my friends said I was soppy, soppy. And I looked it up. It's SOPPY, and it's something like a waukish Valentine. I started laughing. Well, it's interesting because that started when, remember when this first started happening, for some reason, that song, and it ended up being by the Pointer Sisters. Remember that song? I'm so excited, I just can't, whatever. And that song kept playing through my head, like, I'm so excited. And then when I found out I had a brain tumor and it was still playing, I'm like, what's exciting about a brain tumor? But I don't know, that is like that was going to be the theme song for my life or something. So she wrote this message and she said, I love you, but I don't like your taste in music. I'm like, yeah, the Pointer Sisters. But it's all that, you know, like, I'm so excited. I don't listen to contemporary music that much, actually, but I was so touched when Ossie sent me, because I've met Ossie in person, and I love her, that song, I'm Alive. And so I've been playing it off and on. I said to Bill today, I go, maybe I should go to Amazon and buy it and make myself a CD and I can play it in the car. That's the music I like. I like the 70s. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Does any have anything to say? Does any have any questions for me? Or anyway, that's all I have to say today. I guess we covered the prayer section and we covered the I'm Alive section. And but I thought that was good how, I thought for me anyway, how Holy Spirit, through the discussion and prayer, led me back to my own work, which is contemplation. And I think Holy Spirit's leading me to do a deeper contemplation on NTI Hebrews, which is, again, the practice of awakening. And I'm in step five, Mom. The step five of the seven steps is increasing your motivation. And so sometimes I get bored with those quotes because, you know, so many of them don't make sense to me. And I'm trying to tease out some meaning. And, but, you know, at the same time, when you look at how much I've got out of doing it for the year and a half, that's what I felt Holy Spirit was saying today. Cheryl, look how much you've gotten out of it. You only have three steps left. Anyway, over and out. You doing step five too? And also in step five, what's coming up is quotes by Nisargadatta Maharaj. And there's like 50 from him. So I hear Holy Spirit, why are you going to give those up? And then the sixth step, I actually feel that I want to do right now because the sixth step is going inward. And isn't that what my job is right now, going deeper inward? So I kind of want to give up the step five and go to step six. But anyway, this afternoon I got the guidance to just start where I left off and just go with, yeah, Maggie just said, go with it, Cheryl. Yeah, that's exactly the guidance I'm getting, to just go with it. Yeah, I passed up Regina, but Regina goes away a lot. She has all her trips and stuff. But anyway. Also, I don't know if any of you are interested. I don't know if it's going to happen. There's an event in St. Louis, Missouri in November. I think it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. And I did a Be the Love there a few years ago. And I really liked it. It's this place called Mercy Center. And I really like going, I want to go to some retreats where I'm a guest, not a presenter. Because when you're a presenter, it's a whole different thing. You don't enjoy it the same way, you know? And the women that I met there, I bonded with really deeply. And there's a woman, Mary Linehan, I like her a lot, and I think she's putting on a retreat. I think it's going to be like a silent retreat. And anyway, so I'm thinking of going for like 3 days. And Judy Flassing lives there. She's a wonderful person. So she's supposed to be sending me some information. So I may go there in November for 3 days and just be like, I just want to go on a retreat. Yeah, so I thought I'd put it out there if any of you are close. It's St. Louis, Missouri. It's called Mercy Center. She's supposed to be sending me an email. Once she sends me an email about it, I'll send it out or put it on Facebook. But I'd really like to, I feel like I'd really like to go there for a few days and maybe even talk my husband into going because I think it would be good for him. And Mary, I met Mary when I went there. She's a really gentle soul. And anyway, so I'll put it out there if anyone's close enough that maybe they can go and we could spend a few days together. Like I said, I think it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. Okay, so what time is it? 3:56. So I'm going to hang up right now. I'm going to let go. Thank you, Sharon. I love you all. I'm not just saying that. I'm not just saying that I'm happy because I have cancer. I'm not just saying that I'm excited. I think all of you have made a big difference in my life. The way I feel today, my healing, every one of you have made a major difference in my life, especially you, Dub. And there's no way, I could be doing as well as I am right this moment without the support and love of every single one of you. The truth. That is the absolute truth. So, for now, oh, do I still have it? Well, for the last few minutes, I'll play the song again. We're all alive in this room right now, so let's enjoy it. Thank you. Okay, so I guess that's enough of Celine for today. If anyone talks to Aussie, they can tell her that I really enjoyed that. Okay, so it's 4:01. I don't know if Regina's here or not, but I'm going to sign off. Okay, I'll be back next Sunday, hopefully, and I'll be thinking of you all week. Love, much love. Thank you. I love you.
All right, thank you so much, Cheryl Valentine, and Regina is away this weekend. Regis Reeves is here, standing in for her. I just want to thank you so much, Cheryl, for your determination, commitment, and willingness to share yourself. You are certainly a beautiful demonstration and inspiration to all of us, truly. Thank you so much. Right now, Regis says he's going to be speaking on the value of awakening together. 1 hour from now, we're going to have Jubi Aniyama and Claire Lamana from Endeavor Academy, two Claire teachers on a course. And yes, I will be speaking to Asi Marie. I'll certainly pass that on for you. Okay, right now, Regis Reeves from Greenville, South Carolina. This mic is all yours.
Good evening. Love and blessings to you all. Thank you, Mrs. Cheryl Valentine. Thank you, Dove. And as Dove said, I'll be speaking from the idea of reflections or reflecting on awakening together. And actually, he was actually right when he said the value of awakening together. Actually, I will be actually focusing on one of the core values, only one.